Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories, told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on October 9th, 2012 at the Top Hat, and features eight storytellers telling a story based upon the theme, forgiveness. This week's story comes to us from Mark Sundin and is titled, Storm. Thank you for listening.
So I woke up one morning and it felt like someone was holding a piece of thread or maybe a piece of dental floss across both of my wrists. And this was a very strange sensation, because I could look at my wrists and I could see that there was nothing there, but I could not, by any act of will, make this feeling go away. Something sharp was pressing up against me. And so my very first thought was that this was a voice inside my head telling me that I needed to cut my wrists, that I needed to kill myself. It's the first place my mind went. Which was strange, because I wasn't suicidal at the time. I wasn't even depressed. I was like 30, 32 years old. Things were going really well. I had just achieved pretty much my only life's dream, which was to publish a book. I was working on another book that was about to be published. I'd bought some property down in Utah, had a trailer, had a girlfriend. Things were good. And yet, there was apparently some voice telling me I needed to go out and cut my wrist. And as strange as it was, it did feel in some way like a visit from an old friend. Because many years before that, when I was 19 years old, I guess I could say that I'd fallen in love with a rainstorm. And by that, what I mean is I fell in love with the girl, and her name was Storm. That was her middle name. That's what she was going by at the time. And when I was 19, I had this idea that anyone you ever talked to was just going to give you small talk. And I met her and I said, "What have you been up to?" Not expecting much. And she said, "I just got out of the mental hospital because I tried to kill myself." And my heart just thumped. I thought that was the most exciting thing I'd ever heard. And we spent, I'm going to say, the next probably 10 days together, inseparable, this far away from each other, and staying up all night and talking and smoking cigarettes and drinking and wandering around the campus. We were both in college. And of course, she'd been in the hospital, so she'd had to withdraw from all of her classes. And yet, she still lived there, so she kind of roamed the campus like some kind of ghost or feral animal. I don't think she ever took a meal sitting down. She'd kind of pick off of platters in the dorms or at parties or whatever. And she just enthralled me. And she had these inky black eyes and inky black hair like a raven. And then when she was younger, she'd been this athlete. She was very tall, like awkwardly so, gangly. She had these long legs that kind of hung from her hips and knocked together at the knees. Her elbows would poke out of holes in her flannel shirts. And when she came into the room, I'll never forget this smell. She filled the room with this smell of cigarette smoke, an old leather jacket, and grape-flavored hairspray. It was the best thing ever. And most of what we did during these 10 days of being inseparable was I would listen and she would talk and she told me her story. And this is what I learned. In high school, she had this boyfriend who was really crazy. Like the kind of crazy where he locked himself in his room and carved hundreds and then thousands of little X's on the wall with a razor blade. And then the authorities finally broke in the door and carried him off to the hospital. And when he got out, she decided it would be a good time to break up with him. And she did. And he took the news rather calmly. And then he walked out into the hall A few minutes later, there's a knock on the door. He came back in. He said, I just want one more hug. So she said, okay, one more hug. And they hugged, and then she said, your hands are wet. And sure enough, what had happened is he'd gone out in the hallway and slit his wrists as a way to make her feel terrible and guilty for having broken up with him. So by the time I met her, she was in trouble psychologically. She'd taken up cutting herself with a razor blade. And, you know, when I look back now, when I think of the cutting and the suicide attempt and the mental hospital, I see those might have been red flags. But at the time, you know, those were catnip. Those are the most exciting things imaginable. And the reason is because I felt like I hadn't suffered enough and I needed some pain in my life. Because I'd grown up in a family with no addiction or disease or divorce or self-destructive behavior. Things were pretty good in my life. I grew up in the suburbs of Los Angeles at the beach. But instead of enjoying the skateboarding and the sunshine and the beach and the water, you know, I was reading Kafka. And I was reading Camus and Sartre. And I wanted to be a writer. I wanted to be an artist. And I knew that the only path from where I was to where I wanted to be was through pain and through suffering and through gaining this authenticity and this humanity. And I fell in love with her. I absolutely fell head over heels. And she said, you know, I don't think I'm really in a good position to be in a relationship. Like, she listed off all the reasons. She's like, you know, I'm suicidal, I'm depressed, I cut myself, I lie to anyone I'm dating. And I said, no, you're fine. And so this went on for several months, and then I went home for the summer. And I came back up to the Bay Area to visit her, and we went out one day. We went to Berkeley. We were walking down Telegraph Avenue, and we were going to the thrift stores and the record stores, and suddenly a car pulled up on the side of the road. This guy jumped out, and it was the ex. And what I learned was that he'd become a skinhead. He'd shaved his head. He was wearing all black. He had his big boots on. And he rushes towards us, and he pushes her out of the way and grabs me and throws me onto the concrete. And bless her heart, Storm kind of like lays herself on top of me to protect me from his boots as he's trying to kick me. And as I'm rolling along the sidewalk, I'm having a moment of reckoning. I'm thinking, okay, I've got it. I've achieved what I wanted. I have the pain and suffering that I was looking for. But I'm like, is it worth it? Because I'm about to get the shit beaten out of me, and it's going to be a one-sided affair. Is this worth it? And I don't know that I spent a lot of time thinking about it, but what I did do was I scampered up like a fawn that had been hit by a car, and I pointed myself down the sidewalk, and I fucking ran. And that was pretty much the end of that relationship. What I learned from her afterwards was that the ex had been coming around. He wouldn't leave. He would force himself on her. He would rape her. And I would say to her, you know, there's things you can do about this, right? Aren't there police? There's restraining orders. You can stop this, can't you? And she said, I couldn't call the police because I love him. I don't want him to go to jail. So she loved him, and she couldn't stop seeing him. She couldn't send him to jail, and I loved her, but I couldn't continue to see her because this wasn't going to work. I knew that much, and it was a mess, and that was that human condition. That was that suffering. That was that thing I had always wanted, and I didn't really like it. And in the years that followed, we fell out of touch, and I really wanted to forgive her. I felt like she'd done me a wrong. But in order for me to forgive her, she had to apologize. But that never happened because we didn't see each other for years and years and years. And the next thing I know, 10 or 12 years had passed, and I'm feeling this weird pressure on my wrists as if I'm supposed to be cutting myself. And I see now that although I wanted her, I felt like she owed me an apology. I think I was wrong. I don't think she owed me an apology. I don't think she'd done anything wrong. If anything, I owed her a debt of gratitude. Because as much as I wanted to get down in the mud and suffer with her, she tried to protect me from that. And when I look back now, I think, why did I think I needed, you know, cutting and suicide and betrayal and violence? Why did I need that to be real? It's because I was suffering my own. I was suffering in the way that we're all suffering, thinking I didn't have what I needed to be a real person. And it turns out suffering is not some jewel out in the jungle that you have to go search for on some quest. And neither is humanity, neither is our authenticity. We all have it. We just have to look inside. Because we all store our suffering and our humanity in our hearts. Or in my peculiar case, I store it right here in my wrists. Thanks.
Tell Us Something is brought to you by the bookstore at the University of Montana and the Top Hat Lounge. Tell Us Something would like to thank the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, staff, and faculty of the University of Montana, as well as the general Missoula community. More at montanabookstore.com. The Top Hat Lounge, regularly bringing Missoula great live music. Top Hat Missoula. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact. Factandfictionbooks.com. Garage Tees, screen printing, t-shirts, and more. Montana is for badasses. Find them at GarageTees.com. Josh Quick, illustration and design. More at QuickJosh.com. Rockin' Rudy's, your source for funky gifts, cards, and music. Rockin' Rudy's, great people, great music. RockinRudy's.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. They have new music up on their site. Find them at CashforJunkersMusic.com. The next Tell Us Something is scheduled for December 11th at the Union Club. The theme is misunderstandings. Find us on Twitter at twitter.com/psstellus. That's PSSTTELLUS. And Facebook at facebook.com/tellussomething and at tellussomething.org. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours?